Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
We have now some personal news to share with you this morning. Our boss, Rupert Murdoch, is transitioning from chair of our parent company, Fox Corporation.
Rupert Murdoch stepping down as head of his right-wing media empire. We'll talk to the head of Media Matters, who says Murdoch's legacy is one of deceit, destruction, and death. Then to Israel.
Even where we have some differences, my commitment to Israel, you know, is ironclad. I think without Israel, there's not a Jew in the world that's secure. I think Israel is essential.
President Biden's invited Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the White House after the two met on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. Critics say Biden's embracing Israel's apartheid system. Plus, we speak to Congressmember Ro Khanna, as Republican infighting could soon lead to a government shutdown. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's warned the far-right lawmakers want to burn the whole place down. Plus, we'll speak with Ro Khanna about the UAW strike as the auto workers threaten to expand their strike today against the Big Three. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's dismissed lawmakers for an extended weekend after a handful of Republican hardliners rebelled and blocked an $886 billion Pentagon spending bill. McCarthy blamed members of his caucus for wanting to burn the whole place down, he said. Their defection makes it increasingly likely the federal government will shut down October 1st when funding for federal agencies expires. On Thursday, Democratic Congressmember Ilhan Omar blasted Republicans for demanding massive cuts to social programs.
Now they launch some of the most radical cuts to health care, to housing assistance, to food assistance, to the postal office, and nearly every program under the sun, all while doing nothing to rein in our nearly $1 trillion Pentagon budget or the trillions they have handed out to millionaires and billionaires through the Trump tax cuts.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon says it'll exempt its Ukraine operations from any government shutdown to allow it to continue training soldiers and shipping arms to Kyiv. We'll have more on the congressional budget fight later in the broadcast with California Congressmember Ro Khanna. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's arrived in Canada after wrapping up a visit to Washington, D.C., where he met Thursday with U.S. lawmakers, military leaders and President Joe Biden. During a speech at the National Archives, Zelensky thanked the U.S. for the $113 billion in aid to Ukraine approved by Congress, saying the money's helping to prevent a wider war in Europe.
If we fall, half of Europe would again be in danger of being in Moscow's sphere of influence. But American investment in Ukrainian security and global protection of freedom is working 100% every cent.
Meanwhile, Poland's prime minister says he will no longer send new arms to Ukraine and will instead focus on arming Poland with modern weaponry. The move comes amidst a trade dispute that's seen Poland ban imports of Ukrainian grain and other food products. In a historic victory for indigenous communities, Brazil's Supreme Court has blocked efforts led by agribusiness-backed lawmakers to enforce a time limit for making claims to ancestral territory. The case argued indigenous groups were only entitled to land that they physically occupied when the 1988 Brazilian Constitution was signed. Many indigenous communities were expelled from their ancestral territory over the course of decades, including during the military dictatorship. 9 of the 11 justices sided with indigenous people who gathered outside the Supreme Court in Brasilia Thursday in an emotional celebration following news of the ruling. Many wept with joy, others danced.
We're getting emotional. We're happy and we cry because we know that it's only with demarcated territory, with protected indigenous territory, that we'll be able to stop climate change from happening and preserve our biome. We are responsible for it.
In Guatemala, demonstrations have continued nationwide in support of progressive President-elect Bernardo Arevalo and his Semilla political party as prosecutors seek to derail the results of August's runoff election and prevent Arevalo from taking office in January. Protesters are demanding the resignation of corrupt prosecutors backed by Guatemala's right-wing business and political elite, who've launched several investigations against Arevalo and Semilla over alleged election fraud and irregularities in the party's registration. International observers have said there's no evidence backing these claims. Arevalo rallied supporters outside the Supreme Court in Guatemala City earlier this week.
Citizenship is exercised not only every 4 years when the vote is cast, but also when the institutions ask us to mobilize to defend democracy. And today, we're here in an act of defense of democracy.
On Tuesday, thousands of indigenous leaders took to the streets of Guatemala, blocking major highways. In New York, Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva warned in his UN General Assembly address about the prospect of a coup unfolding in Guatemala.
In Guatemala, there is a risk of a coup, which would impede the inauguration of the winner of democratic elections.
In immigration news, the Biden administration announced Wednesday it's granting work permits and temporary protection from deportation to nearly 500,000 Venezuelans. Migrants from Venezuela who are already in the U.S. as of July 31st can apply for temporary protected status. The relief will last for 18 months and comes after a massive push led by immigration rights activists demanding work authorization for the tens of thousands of migrants who've arrived at the U.S. in recent months. In related news, a three-year-old migrant child has died after being swept away by the current of the Rio Grande along the Texas border with Mexico. Texas officials also recovered another migrant presumed to have died after drowning in the river. Both bodies were found near the border buoys installed by Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott to block migrants from crossing into the U.S. Earlier this month, a federal judge ordered Abbott to remove his dangerous floating border barrier. The ruling was temporarily paused after Texas filed an appeal. India has suspended visas for Canadian nationals after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau Monday claimed the Indian government was involved in the June assassination of a Sikh community leader and a Canadian citizen, Hardeep Singh Nijjar, in British Columbia. India rejected the claim and accused Canada of harboring Sikh separatist terrorists. Both countries have expelled diplomats. The AP's reporting Canada's claim is based on surveillance of Indian diplomats in Canada and intelligence provided by an unnamed ally from the Five Eyes Intelligence Sharing Alliance, which includes the U.S., U.K., Australia, and New Zealand. Billionaire media tycoon Rupert Murdoch announced Thursday he's stepping down as chair of News Corp and Fox Corp and will put his son Lachlan Murdoch in charge. Murdoch's vast media holdings include the right-wing TV network Fox News, which has been plagued by a series of scandals around sexual harassment as well as reporting lies, including around Trump's loss in the 2020 election. We'll have more on Rupert Murdoch's media empire after headlines. In France, police released journalist Ariane Levalieu Thursday, 2 days after her home was raided and she was arrested over her reporting. Writing for the website Disclose, Levalieu reported on a leak that said French intelligence was used by Egyptian forces to target smugglers along the Libya-Egypt border, resulting in the killing of civilians. The reporting says French forces were complicit in at least 19 bombings against smugglers between 2016 and 18. She also wrote about various arms trades in Egypt, Libya, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Russia. Amnesty International chief Agnès Callamard said, quote, "It is deeply chilling that almost 2 years after the revelations that France was allegedly complicit in extrajudicial executions of hundreds of people in Egypt, it's the journalist who exposed these atrocities that's being targeted rather than those responsible," she said. On Thursday, Levalieu spoke at a news conference at the Paris office of Reporters Without Borders shortly after her release. She deplored the lack of political support for her case and called on parliamentarians to investigate abuses by French intelligence services.
Si tous ces gens-là restent muets, If all these people remain silent, it is very disquieting for our democracy. If those in power do not ask questions, democracy dies in darkness. As the famous slogan goes, this is a very political, essentially democratic matter.
In Louisiana, a new lawsuit accuses officers in a street crimes unit of the Baton Rouge Police Department of unlawfully arresting people and torturing them in an unmarked warehouse dubbed the Brave Cave. Turnell Brown, a 47-year-old grandmother, says she was arrested at a traffic stop in June after officers falsely told her it was illegal to store her prescription medications in a single bottle. Rather than being processed at the local jail, Brown alleges she was taken to the warehouse where she was stripped naked and subjected to invasive body cavity searches. She was released without charge about 2 hours later. This is the second federal lawsuit against the Baton Rouge police. In another suit, 21-year-old Jeremy Lee, who is black, alleges officers strip-searched him in public before bringing him to the warehouse where he was brutally beaten by officers who turned off their body cameras. Former Trump White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson has accused Rudy Giuliani of groping her on January 6, 2021, shortly before the Capitol insurrection. In her new book, Enough, Hutchinson described Giuliani slipping his hand, quote, under my blazer, then my skirt, unquote, while they were backstage at Trump's speech. A Giuliani spokesperson denied the claim. Meanwhile, the lawyer who'd been leading Giuliani's defense in his litany of legal challenges sued Giuliani for $1.3 million in unpaid fees he owes his law firm. This comes as Georgia election workers Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss said in a court filing Thursday Giuliani has failed to comply with a federal judge's order to turn over evidence and pay $89,000 in legal fees as part of their defamation case. And in labor news, the United Auto Workers Union says it's escalating its stand-up strike against the big three U.S. automakers today unless significant progress is made at the bargaining table. UAW President Sean Fain will announce the auto plants that will join workers on the picket line at GM, Ford, and Stellantis. Amid soaring profits and CEO compensation, workers are demanding better wages, an end to tiered pay, cost-of-living adjustments, a return to defined benefit pensions, and a 32-hour work week. Separately, UAW workers in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, have launched a strike at their plant, which produces parts for Mercedes-Benz.
Wages because of inflation right now. The wages that we have is not meeting our needs. And plus, the benefit package they offer us is too high. We can't afford it.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Media billionaire Rupert Murdoch made a surprise announcement Thursday that he's stepping down from his media empire and will put his son Lachlan Murdoch in charge. Rupert Murdoch is 92 years old. In November, he will transition to become chairman emeritus of both Fox Corporation and News Corporation. Lachlan Murdoch will become chairman of News Corporation, continue his position as chief executive officer of Fox Corp. Murdoch's media empire began in Australia in 1952 and quickly expanded. In 1969, he bought one of Britain's oldest newspapers, News of the World, which he then shut down in 2011 after the tabloid was accused of eavesdropping on phone calls and hacking voicemails of missing children, families of soldiers killed in action, and others. This is Rupert Murdoch testifying before the British Parliament's Culture and Media Committee in 2011, questioned by Labour MP Tom Watson.
Mr. Murdoch, at what point did you find out that criminality was endemic at News of the World?
Endemic is a very hard, it's a very wide-ranging word. And I also had to be extremely careful not to prejudice the course of justice which is taking place now. That has been disclosed, I became aware as it became apparent.
The British Parliamentary Committee concluded Rupert Murdoch and his son James Murdoch showed, quote, willful blindness about the scale of phone hacking at News of the World. The next year, a parliamentary report concluded Rupert Murdoch was, quote, not a fit person to run a major international media company. This is British Labour MP Tom Watson in 2012.
And everybody in the world knows who is responsible for the wrongdoing of News Corp. Rupert Murdoch. More than any individual alive, he is to blame. Morally, the deeds are his. He paid the piper and he called the tune. It is his company, his culture, his people, his business, his failures, his lies, his crimes, the price of profits and his power.
That was more than a decade ago. Well, here in the United States, critics say the right-wing TV network Fox News under Rupert Murdoch has long served as the communications arm of the Republican Party. In the past decade, it's also faced a series of sexual harassment scandals. In 2016, the chair and CEO of Fox News, Roger Ailes, was forced to resign amidst multiple accusations of sexual harassment, along with primetime host Bill O'Reilly. This was Rupert Murdoch's response in 2017 on the Sky News channel, which he founded.
How harmful has the whole raft of allegations about sexual harassment at Fox News been for the business?
It's all nonsense. There was a problem with our chief executive, over the years, but isolated instance. As soon as we investigated, he was out of the place in hours. Well, 3 or 4 days. And there's been nothing else since then.
Rupert Murdoch's resignation comes after Fox News settled a defamation lawsuit with Dominion Voting Systems over 2020 election lies for nearly $800 million. Fox News is still facing a $2.7 billion defamation lawsuit from Smartmatic. Michael Wolff, author of the new book, The Fall, The End of Fox News and the Murdoch Dynasty, reports Murdoch was, quote, frothing at the mouth in anger at Donald Trump. From where we're joined by Angelo Carasone, president of Media Matters. He's closely followed Murdoch and released a statement that Murdoch's legacy is one of deceit, destruction and death. Welcome back to Democracy Now! Angelo, it's great to have you with us. Can you respond to the surprise announcement yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things to keep in, the two things that I felt immediately was, one, to make sure that, you know, his legacy doesn't get sugarcoated, that we are really cognizant of the scale of damage that he's created. It's not just the culture of corruption and lies that Tom Watson was quoted sort of referencing, but also the long tail of some of his active campaigns, in particular against climate change. I don't think there's a single person or entity in the world that has done more to promote climate denialism and undermine the efforts to combat that threat, and that will last for generations. And Rupert Murdoch, given the scale of his properties, was significant there. So that was the first thing, was to make sure that the legacy doesn't get sugarcoated. And then the second was to sort of ring the alarm bell, which is that Lachlan Murdoch will actually be a lot worse in many respects. So things in some ways will get both more chaotic and more extreme.
So, well, let's talk about whether, in fact, Rupert Murdoch is stepping back. He, behind the scenes, be in charge? And then talk more about Lachlan Murdoch and James Murdoch, who, in fact, will ultimately be in charge.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's also getting sort of glossed over as well in a lot of the coverage. In the statement where Rupert Murdoch's announcement was made, one of the things that it also simultaneously emphasized was that he still intends to be heavily involved in the day-to-day operations of the media properties. And I think when they say that, they also in particular mean Fox News. He goes to the Fox offices significantly more than Lachlan Murdoch does. Lachlan Murdoch mostly operates out of Australia. He calls in, to engage in some events, but he doesn't really, run the place in the same way that Rupert Murdoch has. And according to the statement, Rupert Murdoch's still going to be there. So there's going to be a shadow of Murdoch. And I think in some respects, the culture will be sustained in part because his presence. But from a decision-making capacity, what this does mean is that at minimum, Lachlan Murdoch is going to have a lot more latitude to be sort of the ultimate and final decision-maker, which is something that he shared with Rupert Murdoch up until this point. And that means that he'll be able to sort of set the vision for the strategic investments that the business makes. And I think that's going to be the one difference. But day to day, we're not really going to feel much except for the fact that Lachlan Murdoch has a tolerance for even more extreme content than Rupert Murdoch does.
Now, of course, it shouldn't be a surprise to many, given that he's 92 years old. But
right.
Some are saying that the reason he stepped down so quickly, the surprise announcement, was because he doesn't want to testify in the Smartmatic case. Explain what happened. I mean, you have this corporation that now has to pay nearly $800 million to Dominion, and explain what that was about. And now Smartmatic, $2.7 billion.
So it's really hard to overstate just how damaging for Fox Corporation Rupert Murdoch's deposition was in the Dominion case. It was actually a devastating deposition that had consequences not just for the case, but also for the future of his companies. Just before the deposition started, Rupert Murdoch and Lachlan Murdoch were actually going to re-merge his companies. Fox Corporation and News Corp were in the process of being re-merged. That was something they were undertaking. A few days after his deposition, because it was so disastrous, they could no longer make the case to the shareholders of News Corp that it would be a viable sort of merger. And they actually had to scuttle those plans. And what happened during the deposition, essentially, is that Rupert Murdoch undermined Fox's defense. One of Fox's defenses was that was claiming that the Fox hosts were not advancing and are making the claims themselves. They were not promoting them. They were simply covering the claims that other people were making. And during his deposition, Rupert Murdoch had repeatedly acknowledged, actually, the Fox hosts were promoting these claims. The Fox hosts were endorsing them. That was his word. That totally eliminated one of Fox's most major defenses. And there was a lot of other stuff during the deposition as well. But in part, it really undermined the case. So from a legal perspective, there's real value in trying to make the argument in subsequent depositions. Well, he's not in charge anymore, so you might be able to get discovery, but you shouldn't treat him the way you would treat an active decision maker. I think that's going to be a tough argument for them to make, but it does give them an additional leg to stand on. And I think that's a part of it. I also think the other part of it is that, things are not great at Fox right now. They've suffered about a 30% loss in their audience ever since Tucker Carlson left. That audience hasn't come back. They don't have the same power and influence that they had. In effect, it's not as fun. Fox and his media properties are as much about profit as they are about power. And as that power starts to wane and diminish, you sort of lose the incentive to sort of, weather all the other slings and arrows that go with running this corporation. So I think those are the two pieces that sort of led to this motivation. And it also makes it clear that because it's going to be a tumultuous period, having just one decision maker that can be pointed to, I think, makes it easier for that person to navigate the terrain. And I obviously that's a reflection of his leadership. He wanted to signal that Lachlan is going to be the one weathering the storms for the year ahead.
It might surprise many to hear that Rupert Murdoch hates Donald Trump. Given the role of Fox when it comes to Trump's run for the presidency, both before and now, explain what that relationship is all about, Angela.
Rupert Murdoch has always thought, Trump was just sort of a creature of tabloids and not somebody that should be taken seriously, that was full of bluster, that was unpredictable and volatile. That's the thing that Rupert Murdoch doesn't like, right, is volatility. And obviously there's some other parts of it. But one of the things that Fox News did is they sort of built the demand amongst the Republican base for the types of claims that Trump were then echoed and that made him popular. The Fox News made Trump acceptable to the Republican Party, and Fox News introduced a lot of the lies that Trump then parroted during the 2016 election. So one sort of Rupert Murdoch had a hand in making the Republican Party more extreme. And then on top of that, as Trump started to, when there was that first tussle during the 2016 primaries where Trump started to criticize Fox for not being supportive of him enough, Trump won that fight. He was able to leapfrog Fox News, speak directly to the Fox News audience, and get the Fox News audience to kind of pressure Fox to be more supportive and sympathetic to Fox. So ever since then, there's always been this weird tension where Rupert Murdoch accepted that even if he didn't really like him, he could use him. So in the early days of the Trump administration, Rupert Murdoch spoke to him regularly. In fact, he was trying to pressure Trump into getting, at the time, CNN's parent company to force a spinoff of CNN so that he could make another run at trying to buy it. He was trying to leverage the power of the presidency in order to sort of further advantage his political and his business interests. It's something that Rupert Murdoch always wants. He does this all across the world, by the way. He uses his media properties to sort of identify political people that he could put into the positions as the heads of government, because that then gives him influence and he can get a return on investment. So there's always been this tension. There's always been this tension there. And I think in the wake of what we've seen with Dominion, it's true. And some of this came out during the intro that ultimately Rupert Murdoch blames Donald Trump for the position that Fox was in. He's wrong about that. It was an active decision by Fox to amplify and help build the case that the election was stolen based on these fabrications and lies. But he's right about one thing. Fox was stuck between a rock and a hard place. They would experience blowback from their audience if they didn't do more to advance and tout those election lies. Part of that is because of Trump, but the main part of that is because Fox News built these appetites amongst a very large part of our country, among in their audience, that they didn't really have a choice but to continue to feed those appetites with these lies.
Angela Carasone, Media Matters, has a piece. Lachlan Murdoch's succession leaves him alone at the helm of a global empire. Here's why that's troubling. Explain his politics and his brother's politics, James Murdoch.
I think the two biggest differences, there's this idea that somehow James Murdoch is a liberal. He's not a liberal. Lachlan Murdoch is certainly not a liberal. Lachlan Murdoch is much more of a reflection of his father's politics. But they differ on a few major things. One is that James Murdoch and Lachlan Murdoch differ on climate change. James Murdoch believes that climate change is going to destroy the world, and it requires a response and action, and that as media properties, that you have an obligation to tell the truth about climate change. Lachlan Murdoch does not believe that. He believes that the climate threat is overhyped, and that it is an effort by liberals and elites to exercise control over the general public. And that is a major difference. The other difference is that Lachlan Murdoch wasn't just whether or not he believed the lies about the election. He was tolerant of them. And in fact, he actively helped spread misinformation during the 2020 election by calling into producers and saying, hey, that host is not giving enough credence to these attacks that on the election. You better get them to change their coverage in real time. He had an active hand in shifting Fox's direction around that. James Murdoch would argue that that's bad. That's destructive. You shouldn't be doing that. And, you know, they had other differences around, you know, politics. So during Black Lives Matter, for example, James Murdoch thought that there did need to be more discussion around a racial reckoning, whereas Lachlan Murdoch was more in the Tucker Carlson camp. He sort of softly endorsed white genocide, the notion that white culture is being systematically destroyed and eliminated by elites. And so there are some differences, but at its core, Lachlan Murdoch is much more of a conservative. His worldview, though, is a bit more brutal than his dad's. His dad, at his core, is still a believer in building things. Now, these things are instruments of deceit and power and profit, but he created news companies and properties and media outlets. There's a sentimentality that Rupert Murdoch brought to the table that I think at minimum grounded how far he was willing to go, because at his core, he was trying to create businesses. Lachlan Murdoch, in effect, is a bit more of a nihilist. And that means that there's not much of a core there that will tether him. If it serves a short-term interest, he will engage in it. And he doesn't really bring a sentimentality to the businesses that his father did. And what that does mean is that they'll burn brighter and hotter.
Angelo, the New York Times reported James Murdoch has raised the possibility he would seek to rally his two sisters to vote with him to wrest control of the company away from Lachlan after their father's death. It used to be people talked about if Rupert Murdoch dies, right? When Rupert Murdoch dies, but it changed to if he ever dies.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a real thing, by the way. I mean, the way the companies are structured, they're owned by a trust. And the trust, Rupert Murdoch exercises total control over the trust while he's alive. But when he dies, each of his children get an equal vote, and there are four of them. And so really just James has to rally his siblings, and Lachlan wouldn't be in control anymore. That's an important thing to consider for what it means for Lachlan's tenure. What it does mean is that he doesn't have a long runway. way. If you're Lachlan Murdoch and you're in control and you have the reins and you have this massive, you know, set of properties and all of these resources to make investments, you know that your time is limited and that the clock is ticking. And so it's in his interest to make as many moves as he wants as fast as possible, so that he has a chance to do them, because he does know that right around the bend, James is going to try to wrestle control of the company away from him. So this succession battle is actually not over. We're basically in the semifinals right now. And when Rupert Murdoch passes, there will be an additional succession battle. I think what Lachlan is hoping is that he can readjust or maneuver the company in a way that somehow he's able to insulate himself from a succession battle or spin off the things that are most important to him. There was some talk a while ago about